Well, Alan, you may want to come down and check this. I'll give you introduction to what we're going to be talking about this morning. In your outline, you have an outline there that shows that we will be listening to a message from the Hebrews and Psalms on fellowship. There's a lot in the Bible about our fellowship with one another, our fellowship with the Lord, and it's very important that we understand what the Scripture says pertaining, there it is, to fellowship, the purpose of fellowship. And in Hebrews, it specifically tells us that we are not to forsake our gathering together as some do, all the more as we see the day appearing. And they were just singing about the golden bells, right? When we hear those golden bells and we hear the trumpet sound, we know that Jesus is going to be appearing in the eastern skies. But until then, as we come together to worship the Lord, as I shared the scriptures last week in John chapter 4, 23 and 24, saying that God is spirit, and when we worship God, we worship him in truth and in spirit. And when we come together as well, that worshiping in truth and in spirit involves a lot of extra things that we do together as a body of Christ. And we sing, and we take communion together. We fellowship together in the Lord's name. And it is because of him that we come together, because of what he did for us many, many years ago when he died on the cross for us. So let's look at our first verse, first scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. And actually, this is a new and living way that Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer is for sure, but it could be a companion of the Apostle Paul, could have been Apollos, it could have been a number of people who was close related with Paul in ministry. So let's begin with verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he opened or inaugurated, which means open for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest, great high priest, that's Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. All right, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering or falling away. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And here's that verse. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that drawing near is when Jesus comes back again. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about fellowship this morning. And to define fellowship, first of all, it's a friendly relationship, companionship, and communion as between members of the same church. And that church is a church that Jesus Christ established. He told Peter, one of his disciples, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So in the beginning, when Jesus was here, he established a church. The church was, and the disciples went to work right away after Jesus ascended back into heaven, going back to the right hand of the Father who sent him to earth to die for the sins, our sins, your and mine. But Jesus, while he was here on earth, he taught in ways that people could understand. Of course, many disciples didn't understand everything, but Jesus said, "You know, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back when I ascend, and he will teach you all the things that I've taught you while I was with you." And now we have God's Word that we can turn to and read every day and comprehend with discernment, with by the power of the Holy Spirit, exactly what the church is all about. Sunday a week ago, I shared a message on the church, and last Sunday was on worship, and this morning is on fellowship. So all of these are the things that we do when we come together to worship together. So the Lord wants us all to have a friendship and a companionship with fellow believers, people like mind and like faith. And this is best established by the church, God's church. He established it. And we can do this by coming together, gathering together, church attendance, being involved in church ministry. There's so much for us as Christians to do for the Lord. You know, when we're lost, this is void to our minds and our concept of what church is about. But once we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit takes residence in our lives and begin to teach us and acknowledge to us what our spiritual gifts are, then we can use them for God's glory, and we get involved in the church, and we put what God has placed in our lives, we put it into practice, and that is called church ministry. So the question we need to address is why should believers attend church? Why should we? Can you and I effectively worship the Lord on our own? And I've heard people tell me that they can be out in the woods, they can be on the waters, they can be out in God's nature, and they can worship God just as well as anyone in church. Well, you can say that, but it's not the same. Now, we can worship God daily as we go about our task, but there's nothing like coming together corporately, uniting ourselves together in body and spirit and soul, sharing our burdens, sharing our praises, and sharing our prayer concerns, sharing our fellowship, and sharing our spiritual gifts with one another, because we are one in Christ. We are one in the body of Christ. So, and we might even ask to say, do you need to go to church? Is there something in it for you and me? And I say, yes, there is. There's something in it for you, and there's something in it for me, all of us. And there's something in it for each and every one of us, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this message this morning. So we're going to be looking at the benefits of the fellowship with others, believers attending church. So the first thing we want to look at this morning is attending church provides encouragement. You know, you can have a bad week, you know, a bad week, you know, and you come to church and there's somebody meeting you at the door or out in the parking lot or inside the sanctuary with a big smile on their face. and say, "Oh, it is so good to see you this morning." And I say it's always good to see you, right? But it's something special coming into a sanctuary in the presence of God where His Spirit abides, and we have things in common, and we can share with one another. We can pray with one another, and you have this whole support of the body of Christ right here in one setting. And we, to me, that's uplifting. And see, we ought to be uplifted, ought to be encouraging one another all the more as we see that day occurring. That's what the scripture just said here this morning. All the more. See, I'm going to read that verse again. Not forsaking our own assembly together as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another. You see? All the day, all the more we see. So one reason that we see, or one reason that we need each other, is that these verses speak of is our responsibility to one another to stir each other up in love and good works. So the body of Christ, we love one another. And the good works are the things that we do for Christ as He has gifted us, each one, in some particular way. And if you want to know, if you don't already know what your gift is, you can find out what it is in Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? Those two chapters right there spell it out plainly and clear what the spiritual gifts are in the church. And since you and I are part of the body of Christ, we are members of the body of Christ, and we have been gifted with at least one spiritual gift, if not more. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You read those chapters today, and you'll find out that, the Lord will speak to you in some way and say, "Here's your spiritual gift." Now, and another thing is that we must help teach and motivate others in the Christian walk. You know, it's encouraging. You know, I've had mentors all through my life, when I was a young man, even now, that has motivated me and taught me in my spiritual journey with the Lord. And I know there's many people here that you can say the same thing, and many of you are probably mentoring others and our young people to do the same. Now, this can only be done when Christ followers meet together. Christians who meet together with the aim of promoting godliness. You know, the closer we get to the Lord, the more He will use you. The more we would see the significance of reaching out and showing a love for one another and being remarkable successful in your commitments. You know, it encourages you to be more committed. Yes, you know, first of all, the Lord should be first in our life. And our families, you know, are especially important, and they should fall in there second. But the church, our coming together is very important. We should not forsake that. So regular fellowship with believers is an essential ingredient for our Christian growth. It's very important that we do that. So you and I cannot grow in our relationship with the Lord apart from other Christians. And it's especially important to attend church, as the scripture says, as a day is approaching. And that day is the time that the Lord will return. He is coming back one of these days. Now, somebody was telling me that they've heard the Lord is coming back certain months, certain years, and I've heard that ever since I was a kid. But when I got into the scriptures and read it, I didn't see that anywhere. Do you? We do not predict when the Lord is coming back. Jesus himself doesn't even know when he's coming back. I believe it's Matthew 24:36 says, Jesus says that the Father will let me know when it's time for me to come back. And I think also in Mark chapter 13:32, Mark states that as well, that only the Heavenly Father knows when the day will be, and then he will look at his Son, Jesus Christ, and said, today's the day. And he will come back, split the open eastern skies, trumpet will sound, and that is the day that he will come. Amen. Can't be too soon, can it? Can't be too soon. So to stand alone during this time is to set yourself up to be crushed very quickly if we're not ready. This week I had an opportunity to go visit with Belvedere Strapple, and she loves to talk about the church. She loves to talk about the Lord, and she was mentioning about some things that's going on in the world and so forth, and she said, you know what, Pastor Mike, people's got to be ready. They got to get prepared, because things are not always good here on earth, are they? And I said, no, they're not. And she said, that's why they need to be prepared to meet the Lord. And I said, amen to that. She was sharing a message with me, and that was good. I need those messages too. But it was such a joy to talk with her and hear her say things like that. So when we think about it, God created us for gathering, fashioned us for fellowship, and formed a family. You see, we need fellowship with each other. And one of our main ways in which God reveals his will and his purpose for one's life through the church is other Christians, other believers, you and me coming together. And we need each other because we are created for gathering together. You know, as you look at the scriptures and read the gospels, well, Acts chapter 2, starting somewhere around verse 42 and read through 47, that they met on a daily basis. They come together and they fellowship and they commune together, and they give to those who had need. And as Peter preached that great message that on the Pentecost day, the hearts of those who had rejected Jesus Christ, when they realized that they needed Jesus Christ and the very Messiah that came to cleanse them from all sin they had rejected, they were so pierced in their hearts that they believed what Peter was presenting to them, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was their Messiah, he was their Savior, and 3,000 was added to the church in that one day. So you see how powerful the gospel is for those who don't know it. So we were created for that. Now, each and every believer is part of Paul's, what he calls, the body of Christ. Now, again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, read Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it talks about the body of Christ being one, and then it mentions the spiritual gifts. But the church represents Christ's presence here on earth. See, as a church, as the body of Christ, we are the church, and we represent Christ. We are representation of what Christ is doing through our lives when he saves us, and then we become his spokesmen. We become ministers of the gospel too also. So when we cut ourselves off from the body of Christ, we can not only hinder the church, but we cut ourselves off from the source of life. And we don't want to do that. So, think about it this way. If a hand becomes detached from the body, then it dies from the lack of blood flow. Think about that for a moment. Also, likewise, when we refrain from coming to church or going to church, we set ourselves up for spiritual lifelessness and uselessness. We cannot do that separate. We need to come together as believers in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says that's our reasonable service, that we come together each and every opportunity. All right. Attending church provides spiritual health. Now, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 72, 92, 12, and 15. Now, look at this. I said attending church provides spiritual health. Not only spiritual health, but physical health. There are statistics out there that people who go to church and attend church regularly and are involved have a better successful health ratings and so forth. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If we are on God's timetable, if we are in church and worshiping, that means God is enriching us spiritually, and then health-wise, we are encouraged and we are uplifted, and everything is more positive that way, rather than and being involved in and being in the world. Therefore, we are more spiritual fit to be in the world around other people that we can witness it to them. So, another excellent reason to attend church is good health. So, I'm referring to both spiritual and physical health. So, we're shown here in a spiritual aspect by the use of the terms. All right, first of all, let's read Psalms 92, and looking at verse 12, which says, Psalms 92, 12, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So here we see that we are shown here the spiritual aspects and the terms. And the next one I want us to see, we're planted and we can bear fruit. And that's what God intends for each one of us to do. You know, when I was growing up, my grandparents planted a lot of fruit trees. They planted, it was like the Hell's Orchard. Hales was the last name of my grandfather, Poppy Hale and them. We had about every kind of fruit tree you could think of. And I remember planting those and seeing them grow. And some of them was planted a lot sooner than when I was born. But I used to climb up into trees and eat pears and apples and grapes and cherries and all of those good things. And just fill myself up with them. And you see, and then my grandfather would always sit me on his lap and then give me the spiritual food I needed. And that's why I'm standing here before you, because what he had in his heart, he planted in mine and others that he was around. And see, that's what we're supposed to do. We're to plant. And then when we plant the Word of God in our hearts and pass it on to others, then we too begin to bear fruit. See, we're shown here the spiritual aspect of being planted and bearing fruit. And Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is a man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." You see, when the Word of God is in your heart and your mind, you can still meditate on it day and night. I mean, it's automatically in your life. It's a part of you. It becomes a lifestyle in your life. And then he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings up forth its fruit in it. So, did you see what it said here in verse 2? A person who studies the law of the Lord. And he's talking about the scriptures. That's what the psalmist here. The scriptures will be like a tree beside waters that brings forth fruit. And therefore, whoever studies the law of God, or the word, grows spiritually and gains spiritual health. And likewise, so the person will, who's planted in the house of the Lord, he will grow spiritually and acquire spiritual and physical health. That's what the scriptures, that's scripture. Example, a healthy tree is one whose root is sunken deeply into the ground until it reaches the water table, and it flourishes from the fresh, continually supply of water. And you know, it doesn't have to be that deep to reach that water table. I mean, it's not like it's got a pond or a lake underneath. The roots only have to go so far to reach that water table. And you see, when we get into the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit is right there close to us, interceding and helping us to grow spiritually. And that will help us in every way of our life. If someone has his roots sunken deep into the church, into God's church, then he or she too will flourish and be spiritually healthy. You know, nothing like a healthy church. Nothing like a healthy individual, a child of God. But if an individual fails to do so, he will die of spiritual thirst. Jesus says, "I am the living water. You come to me." He told the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady, "You drink from my water and you'll never thirst again." Since you've been saved, have you ever got thirsty spiritually from drinking from the Lord's water, spiritual water? I haven't. But we got to stay in it. We got to feed ourselves. We got to drink from the well, God's Word, daily. And that's why we will always not be spiritual thirsty. So also, Psalms 92:14. Tells us that those who are planted in God's house or his church will still bear fruit in old age. Yeah. So when you get to be my age, yeah, you can still keeping on. And therefore, if you commit to fellowship in the church, then you'll grow in faith in the rest of your life and will still be used in your old age for the kingdom of God and for God's purpose. Now, look at Psalm 71:17. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength and your generations, your power to everyone who is to come. Do you hear what that says? Isn't that wonderful? So, from young to your old, God is still working in your life. He is still with you. So if you will remain involved in the local church, then you will still be proclaiming the works of the Lord and leading the lost to faith in Christ, even when you are old age. Oh, how'd that picture get up there? You put that up there? I said gray, not bald, you know. But anyway, that is true, though. That's scripture, right? It's scriptural. God can use you from the least to the oldest. He never gets tired of us. Like Helen Peck used to say, God ain't through me yet. And I've heard many, many older, elderly people say that. Well, the Lord certainly knew what he was doing when he established the church. He knew what he was doing. And that's why Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It won't. In our message this morning, we viewed some good reasons why a Christian or a believer should attend church fellowship with other Christians on a regular basis. First of all, it's important to attend church because believers need each other. You and I need each other. We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We fellowship with one another. We can be there to lend a helping hand when we need it. And secondly, it's vital to attend church because it will grow you spiritual health. And also, going to church will enhance your physical well-being. That's a fact. It's a fact. Attending church is about worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20:28, said that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. And he did. He paid the price. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The wages of sin, and Jesus paid that sin debt. You and I couldn't. What such a great love that Christ was able to pay that sin debt that you and I could not pay. He did it for you. And you and I need to attend church first and foremost in order to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for establishing the church. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for equipping me with a spiritual gift that I can use for your honor and glory. But we need to say thank you to Jesus for shedding his own blood, dying for the church, dying for you and dying for me. We need to say thank you. You know, that's the first words going to be on my lips when I see Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You love me that much. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. And Lord, we just read from your scriptures how important it is for the fellowship. The bond of faith is the church. The bond of love, everything, all the essentials that the Bible talks about, even in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's all here in your word, and how we can apply them to our lives and utilize those to help others in need as well. So let us not just think about it, but may we be motivated to do exactly what the scriptures has stated this morning. How important it is for our involvement. So when we get saved, we are to do something for you because you gave your life for us. And all we have to do is give ourselves back in service to you. That's all you ask, that we be faithful in all that we do in your name. And you will bless us. And we will grow spiritually and have spiritual health and physical health also. And whatever the decisions are this morning in this setting, in our gathering here this morning, Lord, your Spirit is able to touch and each and every one of our hearts at the same time. But you have a different message for each one of us, because you meet us exactly where we are at this moment. So what you're saying to me, it might not be the same to someone else or a neighbor in the pew. But it's clear enough that we can understand if we need to make a decision for you. Maybe it's surrender or a new commitment of some sort, a service to you, a service to the church, a service to one another. That's what the Holy Spirit's responsibility is, to lead us and teach us and guide us in all of your ways. And may we have our spiritual ears open this morning, our heart open to receive the message of this hour. And therefore we can leave here and apply it into our neighborhood, into the places where you lead us, that we might tell others about Jesus Christ. But right now, Lord, we need to focus on what do we need to do for you? What can we do for your church? And how can we be involved here at Versailles Baptist Church to make an impact upon the world around us? You'll make it clear and plain. All you got to do is do the asking. And we do that through your word and through praying and listening to your voice. And you never lead us wrong. You always lead us to your destination. And Lord, what a wonderful blessing that is. Lord, we praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.